श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपगोपीनाथ श्याम सुंदर राधा सुंदर गिरि गोविंद की जाय, वृंदावन धाम की जाय, नवदीप धाम की जाय, श्री चैतन्य सारस्वत मात की जाय, गंग देवी जमुना देवी भक्ति देवी छोटी देवी की जाय, सन्यासी वृंद की जाय, सेव वृंद की जाय, समवेद भक्त वृंद की जाय, Kai Gopramanandi. Any questions from anyone?
Something about the Gita must be nice. So this verse in the Gita says the blind can possess strength over his tenderness. And then also there's this Vishaya and his wife also. That's the Vajra.
Engaged in the culture of faith, and that means where we perceive prospects. So our present position is based upon the misperception that our prospect will be fulfilled through exploitation. Frustrated in our attempts to exploit and even whatever moderate success there might be in pursuing that line of fulfillment or realization of one's potential, someone becomes, they become frustrated with themselves, with their circumstances, and if they are fortunate enough to have accumulated some sukriti, then they come in connection with agents of divinity, Achara Dhamma Vijanya. Agents of divinity means through the agency, Guru, Vaishnava, Shastra, revealed truth, Krishna's revealing himself. So, coming in connection with the scriptures, you mentioned different scriptural quotations. What is scripture? What is revealed truth? We have to understand first. So, Srila Guru Maharaj will say, it's a passive representation of spiritually conscious substance. Like in one place he gave the example of ice and ice melting. So they're there, it's in a rigid form by language, by how it's structured. Just like ice is. But under certain conditions it melts. So, the statements of the scripture, according to one's capacity and necessity, is how they value what is to be found there, how they can appreciate what is there, either on a oral, mental, intellectual, or deeper level. when Guru Maharaj was a child, he heard this saying, Vedic saying, Avritir Sarva Shastanam Bodhadapi Guriyasi, where it said that repeated hearing of the scriptures, Shastra, is more important than trying to understand the meaning. So this sort of thought runs contrary to his normal way of thinking. So it was somewhat puzzling to him. But still it was there, the statement of the scriptures saying, just repeatedly hear these things. Don't be so much concerned with the level of understanding. Just hear and hear and hear. And because it's conscious substance and a passive representation, it's possible that at some point, out of your sincere necessity or some propitiation of the higher plane, that some revelation will come to you. He said that when he came in connection with Gaudiya Math, then he could understand this. So because so many things are like that, the scriptures, the holy name, Krishna consciousness all together, the whole process. So, and we hear, Param Drishva Nivartande Vishaya Vinivartande. Oh, so by experiencing, having a higher experience, then one can overcome the attraction for the Lord. Oh, then I want that. Says it right here in the book. Let's do that. But then you find that higher experience, by dint of this being higher experience, is not something that you can summon at will. Now let's have higher experience and be finished with all lower experience. Says it in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. But what is higher experience? The Udhosaja plane. What does that mean? He descends according to his own sweet will. There's not some process or formula in the general sense to bring that about. But we can learn, make some projections on the basis of our experience that we see someone who is just repeatedly doing something despite their lack of qualification. Right, with some out of obligation, perceived obligation, or inner compulsion. They repeatedly, helplessly, hopelessly, they're going on doing something. In time, the deity whom they're propitiating may become pleased with them. When that will be, why that will be, we can't say. Even in this world, in the experience of relationships with people, we cannot say. So, when Mahaprabhu was in South India, and he met that man who we're told was helplessly, hopelessly trying to follow the order of his guru to read the Bhagavad Gita every day, despite being illiterate and unqualified. He decided, this is order of the guru. Just like Prabhupada says, his epiphany with Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Akeha Kuru Nandana, Chakrabarti Thakur's interpretation that the disciple, true disciple, has no other concept of existence independent of existing to fulfill the order of Guru. That was deeply significant and enlightening to Srila Prabhupada. And it's in the same vein as this man who's, it's not, the order of Guru, I'm not, whatever my relative qualifications, disqualifications are, I will try to fulfill the order of Guru. So when Mahaprabhu met him and this was brought to his attention, you think the man who, he's just holding the book and looking through, going through the motions of reading. And Mahaprabhu says, yeah, but I see also sometimes you're crying. And the man says, yes, because that when I think that the infinite has come under the control of the finite, the Supreme Lord has become the servant of his devotee, that melts my heart. And Mahaprabhu says, this, he's understood Bhagavad Gita, he's realized what Bhagavad Gita has to give, he's got it. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti, etc. So the Gita Rahasya, the secret of Gita, can only be understood by devotion. It's all about devotion. So, and what is devotion? Where the infinite becomes subordinate to the finite. The basis of our whole restructuring of our consciousness is to understand the necessity of no longer perceiving divinity as an object, that we are the subject and he's an object like anything in this world to meet our needs, to fulfill it, like that. Tadasa dasa dasanam dasatvam dasatvam dehime guru. And not only that, to become the servant of the servant of the servant. This is the mood of the devotee. But to someone who genuinely, substantially achieves this sort of heart, then we find to that person the infinite becomes subordinate to them. When your object is to make him subordinate to you as an object, then he goes far away and all we're left with is our own delusions about what is divinity, etc. But when someone has reconditioned themselves or restructured their whole conception, understand, no, everything is meant for him, including myself. When they come to understand this substantially and really, and they understand that the depth of Krishna consciousness and conceive of themselves as, we were saying yesterday, their aspiration to be an atomic particle in that plane means that they've conceived of it rightly. That person, he becomes subordinate to. And that's where we trace devotion. So, pratyaksha, paroksha, aparoksha, adhoksaja, aprakrita. We can look at the scriptures from any one of these angles of vision. On one level, we can look at them from the point of view of direct experience. words on the page, or the intellectual, academic, written at this time from a society that historically was at this stage of the, you know, they can do a sociological, historical, archaeological type analysis and then try and contextualize why these things might have been said at that time, and then think that they're enlightened with some understanding. You know, what separates Vedic civilization from others was a superior sanitation system. I'm not making this up. Like I said, in Russia, you know, if there's a bug on Tolstoy, he can speak about Tolstoy according to his perception. He can give an impassioned, no, I've seen, you know, that he sees, believes, he's got evidence of what he is on the basis of his limited perception of him. He is on his skin, within his hair. Gathering evidence. No one will convince him he's not in connection with that. But what is his capacity? If he can't know the inner, the man, the thinker in that inner realm, what he's capable of producing, what he conceives of, that's all beyond him. He has the most superficial examination of who that person is. So, two things are to be considered there. One is the individual and limited experience of the limited. Even the range with which they choose to examine, it's a sample, and their ability to examine that is faulty. That's why that method, empiric method, no matter how refined it might appear to be, it's rejected from the Vedic system. Brahma, Pramada, Viparlipsha, Karma, Pasabha, because it's just inherently defective. You can't use this as a method of verification of what is divine. So, Amnaya, Prahat, Tattvam, Harim, Ihapam, Bhagavad Gita. So, the beginning, spiritual realization, revealed truth. So, Pratyaksha, direct experience. Paroksha, what is not apparent, but we may get from the experience of others or those who've lived before us, etc., etc. Or aparoksha, withdrawing from the plane of experience. Sushupti, like a deep sleep, there's something can come from that. That's still short of the fourth dimension, which is adhoksaja. Now we're back to, so that param drishtva is the adhoksaja plane. What is it? Adhoksaja? Adha, adhoksaja. When it decides to come down according to its own sweet will, then the sense experience is suppressed. Otherwise not. But we could say this, that someone who's going on in this world, and we mean culturing, stays in the line of devotion, the path of devotion, that they're struggling. Jata, shrata, matsatatu, nirvina, sarva, karmashu, veda, duga, makan, kaman, please, yagye, pinishwara. That they have some faith in the talks about Krishna, Krishna katha, whether what Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita or what others are telling about Krishna, Krishna Katha, and all of it, what it can mean. They have some genuine appreciation for that. And they're here struggling in this world to control the senses. We may take it that in time that the Lord seeing someone helplessly, hopelessly engaged in this struggle may be merciful to them and reveal that Adhoksaja plane may come down, reveal something to them, suppress that undesirable experience, and then when it's withdrawn, leaves a quality of hankering in them which makes the undesirable the unwanted desires they're played with more detestable in comparison to what they recall of that plane. They're increasingly growing disgusted with the humiliation of mundane desire. So that has some value also. That sort of repentance, you can say. They're growing disgusted with this repeated humiliation. So we can see gradually they're becoming a substantial devotee. Adoshradha, Sarusanga, Bhajanakriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Bhav. And what's Bhav? You mentioned Ruchi before. Bhav Ankur. It's the sprout. If Bhakti Lata Bees is the seed of devotion, Bhav is the sprout of Krishna praying. Bud. Sprout. What is given there by Rupa Goswami, they say, Abhyartha Kalasvam, Shantir Abhyartha Kalasvam, Viratir, Manshunyata, Ashtabandha Samuskanta. Anyway, it's mentioned here, there's 9 or 10 symptoms of Bhava Bhakti. And Kshantir Gumar said, when they realize the only wealth there is to be had is in Krishna consciousness. There may be previously the attraction to the mundane, but they don't. There's nothing really substantial there. It's one thing to believe there's something substantial to be gotten from the mundane. It's another thing to be plagued by mundane attraction. So the devotee, aspiring devotee, they're struggling with that illusory seduction. But they know, really, there's nothing substantial there. It's mental, it's this, it's samskar, acquired mental tendency, it's so many things, but there's nothing really substantial there. So when, but in Bhava Bhakti, that they understand, no, all wealth is within Krishna consciousness. Abhyartha Kalatvam. So they don't waste their time on anything, on the culture of anything else other than Krishna consciousness. Virati. Not interested in anything. Man shunyata means that they are not disturbed by what others may say about them. Or man means like an ego, just the absence of mundane ego. Ashabandha Samudhanda, and their hopes. Everything is all just centered on Krishna culture, Krishna conscious culture. In terms of not wasting time, Guru Maharaj once said that means 24 hours non-stop Krishna consciousness. Even in dreams, they're fully Krishna conscious. And as a result, there's this sprout of that stage. And still, from there, one can fall. It's possible. Generally, Guru Maharaj felt that would be, it would be brief, and some last purificatory adjustment. If we want to apply the same in the case of Jagvara, sometimes we hear some great devotee, some high level of achievement, there's some momentary lapse right before the final stage. So that means Swarup Siddhi, Vastu Siddhi. From Swarup Siddhi, even awareness of one's actual spiritual identity is possible. Awareness and qualification, it's possible still to fall. But Vastu Siddhi means posted substantially in that position, and they're not possible. Guru Maharaj is an example like the high court judge. Someone's qualified to be a high court judge, they've been elected, but not yet, right before, in that interim, before when he's been qualified, certified, and elected, and but not yet sat in the court. There's still room there. So this will tell us, when we think of how critical this is, that then what if even at that stage, then what hope is there for us, or what shall save us? Is that feeling of the devotee that it's always on the other side, that it's not, the minute they think they are qualified, you become okay. But they're always realizing the mercy of Guru. Only by divine mercy is this possible. Not this, I will increasingly become qualified and more, and then I'll be able to do this, and I'll control my senses, and I will do that, and then I will, I. No, it's by the mercy of Guru, it's possible. The necessity of service. No one can enter there with any other necessity. Not out of curiosity or lower purpose. That plane is qualified by everyone there is a dedicating unit, a servitor. Not self-interested, but center. It's all absolute center, the interest of the absolute center. So when that ego has been purged, there's not a tinge of the ego that I shall be served, then someone's qualified to enter there, to be called in. It's not, they're just having people, and well, you know, why not let this person come in for, you know, they've been chanting for so many years now. It's real and substantial. It's a plane of service. They have service there. They're looking for servitors. Someone who's qualified to take up a particular service. Now when Mahaprabhu express his divine will that today I want to be my Shakti, I want to be Rukmini, like that. He wanted to make a play in the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. All the devotees were excited. He said, I'll play the role of Rukmini. And Jai Bhakti Nirmala Acharya Maharaj Ki Jai. And other devotees will play other parts. And they're all getting excited and thinking either they'll be in the play or they'll be able to see the play. And he said, but no one will be allowed who does not have their senses under control. They cannot be part of the audience. And Advaita Acharya and Srivastava. Mahavrana, what's wrong? And Advaita Acharya, well, I won't be able to. He said that they have to have their sense of my senses. And Mahaprabhu, the way this heard is Maha Vishnu. Srivas Thakur is Narad Muni. Mahaprabhu said, if you can come to this play, then who can come? But there, even though Advaita Acharya is Vishnu Tattva, but he's thinking, he's unqualified to see this divine performance. This is the mood of a devotee, devotional mood. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arsabhritya. Krishna and all the others are thinking, even he has Vishnu Tattva thinking they're servitors. So Mahaprabhu told him that, all right, then I'm going to give you some special power that during this performance your senses will be controlled. That's Adhoksidya through negotiation. They can force Adhoksidya. He's Adhoksidya, but their melted hearts can control Adhoksidya. Yay. Prayaso jita jito piyati taistre lokyam. And we know when Mahaprabhu finally, he does, putting on the attire of Rukmini, he enters the mood of Rukmini, her bhav, and becomes Rukmini. And now all the devotees are astonished. You know, and what it's Mahaprabhu, but here's Rukmini. And he's tears start pouring from his eyes. He's lying on the ground, feeling separation from Krishna. And tears start pouring from his eyes, like to become the ink. He wants to write something. So he's using the earth has become the paper. The pen is one of the fingers from his lotus hand, and tears pour down to become the ink, and he writes, Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundara shrinvatam te nirvishakarna vivaray haratonga tapam rupam drisham drishimatam akilarta labam twayat chita vishati chitram apatrapam me. She's writing a letter to Krishna to kidnap her. And she's saying, Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundara shrinvatamte. Now that I've heard about you and your qualities, bhuvana sundara, now I understand what the most beautiful thing in the world is. Before this, one might have entertained other ideas about beauty. But now, hearing about you and your qualities, I understand what the most beautiful thing in the world is, and I understand why hearing exists. why we have ears, why we can hear, why do we have senses? Seivan mukhe yidivan. Why do we have Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Rutsate? The reason hearing exists as a sense is to hear about you and to hear descriptions of you. Nirvishakana Vivaray Haratongatapam. And since your divine self has entered my heart through hearing about you, Haratongatapam, all the suffering and the misery of this world, Harata, is finished. Rupam Grisham Drishimitam Akilartalabam. And through Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila, from sound comes divine form. Seeing your beautiful form, I feel I've got everything. I no longer have need for it. We're back. That the seed of that and Bhavankur, right? Shantir, there's nothing else. This is it. Yam lab dva chapram labham manyate nadikam. When you come in touch with this substance, you realize no need for anything else. Rupam dusham dushimitam akilatalabha. Now I understand why eyes, what seeing is for. It's to see you. Ears are for hearing about you. Eyes are to see you. Now it's all starting to make sense to me. Perfect sense. Tvayachita vishati chitram apatrapamne. So, achyuta, vishati chitram. Now that you've entered my consciousness, come in connection with Krishna consciousness, I'm awakened to a prospect of a life, divine love in relationship with you. And there are so many enemies in the environment who are trying to assert their claim over me. Because I've done so many things in this world, and really, they can assert some rights over me. I'm surrounded, I'm under siege of my past mental tendencies, what I've generated by living in this world. I'm surrounded at every step of my existence by those who express some claim over me, some debt I have with them. So I'm shamelessly begging you to come and kidnap me. That will be the only solution. You have to kidnap me from these circumstances and all these who want to take me as their own. That's my prayer to you. You can do that. I'm helpless in this circumstance. But you can come and pull me out. So, our position, we aspire. I mean, our position is like that, but we will aspire to submit that type of prayer to Krishna. Always the other side. Our faith is in the other side, not in ourselves. If you have faith in yourself, finished. Faith in Guru, faith in the upper world. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. He's sheltering everything, seeing everything. We've always perceived there's someone with me at every step of my life, at every step of the way. He knows me better than I know myself. My faith in that side, they can help me. Not in faith in my side, myself. By misplaced faith in myself, look at the situation I've created. Again and again, the wrong thing. Bad choice, wrong decision. Because I think I know what is best, or who I know who I am, and this is what I need at this time, and all of that. Ego responsible for generating one body after another. And if the next life were guaranteed as a human being, that might give you some consolation. but it's not. I have no idea what the next life will be. And we shouldn't say, oh no, we're devotees. Who's a devotee? You know, we see the deity and chant Hare Krishna, and certainly he says all these things in the scriptures about someone who does that. You're dealing with a whimsical Lord. Where he will place you next, you have no idea. Read about that also. Right? Gajendra, he was a big king in India and devotee. He was a Hare Krishna king. Right? He knows all about circumambulating, worshipping, he knows all these things. And his next life he becomes an elephant. Why? Some offense. Sadhu ninda. Some offense to devotee. So next birth, it's an elephant. Gajapati people eksha tara. The Lord is merciful, but we should not. That's also, we're told, one of the things that you think, oh, by what we're doing, right, Nam, Sankirtan, etc., that whatever wrong will be counteracted by that. We're told that's Nam Aparad. That's a diseased mentality. So, really, we'll try and place our faith in the upper world, which means Guru, Vaishnava, superior. What is superior to ourselves? Not seek to control, exploit, consume that which is lower than ourselves, but to offer ourselves in dedication and service to that which is higher. These are the two ways you can go. Yes.
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 So, is it this purification process?
Yes.
So, does that mean that it's kind of inevitable that it should happen?
Yes. In one sense, yes. But devotee is one who will not, because of fall down, abandon the path of Krishna consciousness. Like we hear the example, Vishvamitra Muni. Think about this. Just think about it. He's doing yoga for 60,000 years. 60,000 years. And then Indra thinking, by all this yogic performance, he's becoming more and more powerful and qualified, and I'm fearing for my own position. Because you can also become Indra. You can become Brahma. You can become Indra. So he looks in his court and he says, one, the most beautiful girl, dancing girl, etc. We can say courtesan. And sends her to, and there's Vishvamitra Muni, 60,000 years. And she walks up to him, and all he hears is the sound of her ankle bell. And out of the corner of his eye, he sees this unbelievably beautiful girl waiting for him, offering herself to him. And he falls down, Menaka, and their child's name is Shakuntala. But why is he so much glorified? He doesn't think, hey, if I didn't get it after 60,000 years, forget about it. No, instead he thinks, alright, so this happened. I'll try, continue trying. There's no other wealth anywhere else. All right, I made a mistake. something in me compelled me in this way, that way, but I have no other interest in anything else in this. That's why Guru Maharaj said, if you think you are Krishna conscious, to what any degree? That you think you're Krishna conscious, to any degree. His words, you're finished. He said, but if you think, I've got nothing, after all, or whatever I've put in this, I have nothing. But I want nothing but this. I have nowhere else to go. I don't want anything other than this. I don't have it, that's for sure. But this is only what I want. I just want to stay connected with this. And maybe I will never get it. That's okay. Also, I will then say, well, you will never get it. That's all right. It's disappointing, but still, I don't want anything else but that. That thing which I'll never get, that's all I want. He said, then maybe you have some devotion. That's what it means. Think, not that, oh, you know, I'm only going to pursue this if my record is perfect. Necessarily, there must be fall in various ways. It cannot but be. Because pride, man shunyata, what is bhav ankur? We just said man shunyata, the absence of ego. So the ego that I am an unfailing servitor, Guru Maharaj said, that also has to be removed. And he gave the example of Peter. When Jesus said, one of you will betray me. And they're all, is it I? With Michelangelo, his painting, you know, where they're all, is it I? No. Judas is not going like that. And then Peter steps forward and says, I will never betray you, my Lord. He said, you, 3 times, before the sun rises tomorrow, the cockroach, you will deny that I'm yours. You. So Guru Maharaj said, no pride is tolerated in the heart of a servitor, even the pride that I'm your devotee. I'm your exclusive, unfailing, dedicated servitor. That won't be tolerated. Why? Because it's taking it away from the other side. Rather, the mood of a devotee will be, I can't serve. When a man walking in the group with Guru Maharaj and his godbrothers in Puri said, they were talking about Sharanagata, and he said, you want to know Sharanagata? What type I am? You say, jump in the ocean? Done. I jump in the ocean. And Guru Maharaj said, his godbrothers looked at him like, what? And Guru Maharaj turned and said, that is the opposite of Sharanagata, Sharanagati. One who is Sharanagata, he will think, I can serve. Not, I'm ready to do anything and everything. Think, I can't do the desired service. That's why Mahabhagavata Guru doesn't see disciple as disciple, but as an extension of his guru. He's saying, I am unable to do the desired service, so my guru has mercifully come in the form of so many assistants. Gurudev is so merciful. So Saraswati Thakur, he introduced calling the disciple Prabhu. Actually, Prabhu is only for guru. Really, Prabhu means guru. And you'll see in some places, when they say, yes, I have a Prabhu, means a guru, master, lord. But we're telling so-and-so Prabhu, yes Prabhu, no Prabhu. So some people, why they're calling the disciples and godbrothers Prabhu? This is an extension of his vision He's seeing disciples as guru. He thinks they're all extensions, vaibhav, extensions of my Gurudev, come to assist me in his service. So what is the mentality of an actual devotee? And even Radharani in the highest position, Srila Guru Mahārāja, she's thinking, if someone else can please Krishna, not only does she not object, but she will fall at the feet of that person and take them to Krishna for his pleasure and satisfaction. She says, but sometimes I see they cannot. And that's not ego. She is the supreme super servitor. She says, can this person do this service? If yes, if they're the best, then they will go. But sometimes I see they cannot serve him the way he wants to be served, so I have to do that. But really, she's thinking service, aradhita. And her service is of the nature of self-giving, offering oneself. That's her type. Her worship is through giving of the self. So, coming in connection with that plane, it awakens this aspiration within us. Then we know it has some genuine quality or character to it, if it awakens the tendency to give or to serve. If something else is awakened, it should be suspect. The mood to enjoy or control. We want to be under control, enjoyed. And that's antithetical, it's anathema to how we've been, the world in which we live, and which by our samskar, our acquired mental tendencies, we sprung out of that soil. So we're under the guardianship of Guru and Vaishnava, learning to reconceive. When you say Dharma Buddhi, think of the time. In Bombay, there's so many movie stars and starlets, beautiful women from the Indian movie, and they're also members of the temple. And one beautiful lady came to see Prabhupada, and then after she left, everybody, no one wanted to say anything, but everybody can understand, she is extraordinarily beautiful, someone will say something. And Prabhupada said, Mayavadis will say, she's an illusion. There's nothing there. He said, but the devotees, they will not say that. They will say, yes, oh, she was extraordinary, such a beautiful woman. He said, but they won't do anything about it. And then he told that story of Yudhisthira Maharaj, who someone, remember, Kunti Devi, we're told is inconceivably beautiful. Right? The from sun god Karna, from Vayu, from Indra, Arjun, from Vayu, Bhima, from anyway, so many gods. I mean, this woman was extraordinarily beautiful, and not so much older than her sons. This is ancient Vedic culture. She might have been 35 or something or whatever, but she was extraordinarily beautiful. Someone asked Yudhisthira Maharaj, aren't you ever attracted by the beauty of Kunti? It's just like someone asked Jimmy Carter when he was the president of the United States, he's a famous Christian, he said, have you ever thought lustfully of a woman other than your wife? And he said, yes. And I understand, according to Christian teachings, to think that is to sin. He was an honest man. So anyway, someone asked Yudhisthira Maharaj, aren't you ever, I mean, she is such an extraordinarily beautiful woman, aren't you ever attracted? And says, oh, mother. And Yudhisthira Maharaj, but he's Yudhisthira Maharaj, says, yes. Said, but I control it with my dharma buddhi. So it means the statements of the scriptures, the advice of the saints, all of that. We're living in a circumstance where we're being, and our admirers be seduced endlessly, daily, at every step of the way. But what is all this hearing but to form the foundation of some dharma buddhi, which acknowledges, yes, but serene, voluntary self-restraint. And although that in itself is not a cause, cannot it provoke Krishna's mercy, it may invoke his mercy. And you know, I see he's sincerely trying. So some special grace will come to him.
So on the one part, we are always trying to restrain our senses and by some scripture.
Right.
On the other part, sometimes it's not seen.
It may be. And not go, not leave the association of devotees. Remain and sheltered in the lotus feet of Guru. When Balabhadra left Mahaprabhu, he's with Mahaprabhu. Think about it. And he's seduced by these women, gypsy women. And that verse is mentioned there. It says, how fortunate is that servant whose master will drag him by the hair back to his feet. But then he also said, he had to be reposted. But once they were preaching somewhere, he, maybe Madhava Maharaj and someone else, and in the evening, Brahmacharya and their party had connection with some lady that was there. And all the people, there was a ruckus. Maybe they had an hour or two to make a decision. Some Guru Maharaj is in his room late at night, telling someone, goes, Maharaj, this happened. What do we do? They sent that man to the train station and removed him. And then in the morning there was some ruckus. The people came and then they told, this was brought to Guru Maharaj's attention and he's ousted that man, you know, to placate the local people. Then some time went by. And that man, he's living near the mosque and then repentant mood and came, kept the association of devotees, and Saraswati Thakur came and the devotees presented his case to him. And Saraswati Thakur said, I can't have anything to do with him. This is Saraswati Thakur. And he said, but you shall all give him shelter. And then Guru Maharaj said, but we were all thinking, well, we want to be the way, you know, on your side. With you. Why are you? And Saraswati Thakur said, no, just like Mahaprabhu sent away, but Nityananda Prabhu gave some engagement. So I cannot, because of his position as Acharya. And this is, we're talking Saraswati Thakur. He said, but all of you shall give some shelter and association. So we'll always find our saving grace at the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnava. And no matter what happens, do not give up that shelter and that association. This is the world of fall down. This is the fallen world. That someone will be fallen within the world of the fallen. when Vyas, Narada is chastising Vyas and saying, you're telling people they can go on living in this world happily, successfully by being religious. Who will want to leave? Really, what you prescribe to them is not sufficient to break mundane attachment. You've got to tell them straight about Krishna, about what's in the spiritual world. You've not clearly said that. You're just giving a diet for diseased people. But what will happen when they get healthy, what life awaits them, that you haven't clearly said. So you shall tell them about that. Then he told that if you Chakva Swadharmam Charanam Budam Harer Bhajan Apakvato Tato Tato Patate Tato Yadi. And then he said, this is how critical this is. That if someone will give up everything and try for this, even if they go down, bhajan apaka, like there's paka, ripe, and apaka means not ripe, immature. If due to immaturity or lack of ripeness, they go down, did they lose anything? They're living in the world of illusion. Whether it's saguna plane, wet stool, dry stool, it's that world. If they try to come out of there and just become an exclusive devotee, give up everything and pursue Krishna consciousness, which they do for some time, if they go down from that and enter again the saguna plane, did they lose something? Or did they gain something? They gained something. If they remain in that saguna plane perfectly, they gain nothing. But if they try hearing about Krishna conception, entering the association of devotees, they try hopelessly, helplessly to move in that direction, and they stumble along the way, do they lose anything? No, they're only gaining. So he's heavily chastising Vyasadeva for prescribing anything other than this. So that's our movement. Hopelessly, helplessly pursuing that which is impossible to achieve. But Krishna's the property of his devotees. Whereas Guru Maharaj once said, a Radharani and her girlfriend, they own Krishna. They have the copyright on Krishna. So then we found, who are their delegated representatives? Gurudev. Serve Guru. When Narada is telling in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, Yudhisthira Maharaj is telling like an endless list of things that you should do like overcome the mundane. And as the list goes on, you're just thinking, this is hopeless. But then in the end he says, Etat sarvam guru bhakya purusho kyandrisho jay. But all of this, through Guru Bhakti, devotion to Guru, then you can achieve everything. So what's the conclusion? Guru Bhakti, devotion to Guru. Achyuta Priya. Who is Achyuta Priya? When Narada, right before Narada comes, he has saying like, what did I compiled all the Vedas, Mahabharata, he's trying, he's inventory. What's wrong? Was it Koba, Bhagavata, Dharma? Priya Paramahamsanam, Taeva Yachuta Priya. Maybe it's that I didn't tell about Achyuta Priya. So, generally, we can say that means Krishna, But really, who is Achyuta Priya?
Kintu Praboya Priya eva tasya bandevu.
Radharani. She's Achyuta Priya. So another guru is saying, Yadamiya Mahima Sri Bhagavatam Katayam Pratipatam Anubhutam Apya Alabdhavideya. Really, what is the Bhagavatam telling us? About her. So we can think another, reframe what he's saying by saying, maybe the reason I'm feeling dissatisfaction is that I didn't tell everyone that the only way you can achieve your real potential is by serving the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani in Krishna consciousness. That's why I feel bad. I didn't tell the people the truth. I told them all kinds of other things, and then you can move in this direction and you'll see that. But really, I need to tell them to glorify her, the position of a devotee. That's supreme. I told them all these things about Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan. But now I need to tell them the real truth of the matter. Devotion. And devotion personified to the nth degree. And they'll understand, oh, muktir hit vanyata rupam swarupena vibhasati. That's where I'll find myself. Is in her service under the guidance of Guru. I think that's enough for today. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribhradaka Acharya Sattarasattva Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Deva Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Deva Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Prem Sido Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Go Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Gira Gopiram Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadeep Dham Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai, Sanyasi Vrinda Ki Jai, Deva Vrinda Ki Jai, Samaveda Vatra Vrinda Ki Jai, Nithai Go Primanandi.